look in 2 Chronicles, please. 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. So some of you know all of my fear, and you know you like to help. Getting to meet people I don't. I'd like to just speak a little bit on prayer. Something that a lot of times is one of the biggest sacrifices I can make. It's real hard. It's a hard for, I think, a lot of people, if you're honest with yourself, most Christians, just to get down on your knees and pray. It's easy to pray with your family 3 times a day for the meal, which that's not very hard at all. But to get down on your knees and pray to God, ask Him to do great things through you, through your brothers, through the church, it's hard. But God blesses it. God blesses prayer. And it's amazing that I will pray and God will answer and I'll be all fired up, but you know something, we'll pray again. So it happens again and again to me. So I'm going to just speak a little bit on prayer out of here. It said, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in this first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired it. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify you now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. You know, a lot of times we give our, I've heard a lot of preachers say, well, I came from a background of Christians. They say I'm a third, fourth, fifth, second generation preacher, missionary, Christian. Well, Hezekiah wasn't one of them. His father was a wicked, wicked king. His whole generation was. Since Solomon fell, the kings were pitiful. Israel didn't have a good king. And this is one of the first ones in Judah that was any good, Hezekiah. He couldn't say that, well, God's using me because my dad was saved. God's using me because my dad did this and this. He had everything run against him. He had a bad example to start out with. But when he became king, it says here in verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, doesn't name his parental father, his blood father, calls David his father. But the message is here, and he said, and 4, and he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. It says in verse 3, he kept to the temple, and he opened the doors, and he fixed them. And I'd like to compare the door just a little while to your personal prayers, the doors of the temple. We come in now to the holy place, and we come before God, and we pray to him, and we communicate with God. But many times, our doors of prayer are not only closed, they're broken, full of cobwebs. And you know, it comes down later and says that the house of the Lord is full of images, full of just anything. They get things from other lands, and if they didn't think it was beautiful enough to put in their heathen temples, they'd store it in God's house. And many times, that's like us in our life, me in my life. Well, you know, this doesn't really look good on my little paper that I consider myself. This don't really look good, so I'm just going to store it here. You know, and a lot of times, it may not be just, it may not be what you consider an idol, or what I consider another God. Maybe it's your methods. Ever thought of that? Maybe your methods of doing things are taking place time in prayer. It's happened to me. Man, you know, like Brother Lindo was saying this morning, you preach a message, you say, whoa, the Lord is blessed. I've got it. I'm going to preach this message, and I'm just going to change some weeks. Man, you preach the next night, and they'd rather go and watch a drunk laying on the street than hear you preach. And so then you try to offend them. Seriously, you'd rather have them mad at you than just walk by and just sort of not hardly even look at you. How many times do we substitute so many things, but we substitute them for time in prayer? And then the Lord's house, the Lord's prayer, the doors are shut and they're broken down and they're closing in. All of our methods, all of what we consider our great wisdom, what we consider our understanding, and all these things, and a part of that, things that just occupying our time, they have no place there. And we close the doors and they're broken. We don't let anybody in. We don't go in. He says here, I didn't hear my Uncle Joe's message. I wish I had. It really spurred my interest in what we were talking about. One man filling the hedge. This is one man that spurred it on. So, man, the Levites, they weren't sanctifying themselves. They weren't coming before, like the Bible says, in a royal priesthood. They're backsliders. But you know, one man filled the hedge. A lot of times it takes one person. Brother Leno was talking to me this morning. You look for the big fish. He says you go fishing, you look for the big fish, and then you get the school. You get these little things and you throw them back in the thing. You may pull them out two or three times, but you look for the big fish. That's how you get them, he said. You know something? It becomes a big fish, and that spurs it on. It becomes a spark. I had that, all those signs when I was growing up, man. Smokey the Bear, he's my hero. So, you know, I thought the way they drew him, he was really neat. But anyways, he's talking about just throwing a cigarette out instead of a forest fire. And that was, I always wanted to throw a cigarette out and see what happens, if it really did happen. I never did, but I sure didn't want to. But really, it does happen. A spark starts a fire. And many times, all that lacks in a dead congregation, in a dead church, or in a dead city, in a dead anywhere, is just a spark. And God's looking for a man to be the spark. Or a woman. God's looking for someone to be a spark. And you know, you may not think you're too sparky. You may not think you're too lively. But what are you looking at? The Bible, I like that verse, says, lift your eyes upon the harvest. Why do you have to lift them? You're looking at yourself. God lifts them up at the harvest. You're paying too much attention to yourself. Either you think you're too great or you think you're too low. You're not, and instead you're saying, I'm a person and God can use. You either come up with God and give him all the reasons why he can use you, or you come up with God and give him all the reasons why he can't use you. And that's something that people do. You know, they say, well, God can't use me. I'm foolish. Well, you know, you read the Bible. That's what he's looking for. You say you're foolish. You're saying, God, come for me. You say, God can't use me. I'm slow to speak. Well, God's looking for that. He wants somebody to come around and say, yeah, man, that revival, I did. That was me. Slow to speak. He's looking for foolish. So you saying you're foolish, you're just filling out your application form. I'm serious.
Amen.
Sometimes I think God's just looking for people to break it. You know, people like Aunt Marty and them, they say, I'll never go to Mexico. You know where she's at? Yeah. But here's the message. It's prayer. Come into prayer. And Hezekiah, the one man, the spark, says here, he says, he started out. You know, it's real easy. I find it real easy. Just to sit around and just tell people, you know, okay, you do this and this and this and this, and well, you guys start them going, and when the credits come, well, you just send them all to me. I like that. That's my style. But it says Hezekiah fixed the doors. Hezekiah opened up the house. Hezekiah opened up the way to prayer. He cleaned the cobwebs out. Then he says he called together the people. You start. You want to start something? Start it. You say, well, I think we ought to preach. Well, where are you at? You think we ought to preach? Well, good. Go for it. You think that, well, it always happens. Sometimes the ladies say, well, man, well, this person, I think we ought to bring people in. Well, how many of you brought in? Well, no, I think you guys ought to. Well, man, if you see the needs, you've been called. You say, well, the building's ready. Well, get a broom.
Amen.
You say, we need people to pray. Well, start a prayer group.
Amen.
Says to be the first, you gotta be the last. Means you get in the dirty work. You get your hands in the mud. We start praying. We open up the doors. We just got a few people to be the spark. Just a few people. Just think of what happened. We read on in the passage. It says here, call them together. He says, hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filth out of the holy place. Think that the Israelites use the holy place as storage. And we say, oh, man, they're really bad. You know, you use your holy place. I use my holy place. My prayer time, I fill it up with whatever excuse I possibly can conjure. I sure do. I'm being completely honest. Anything I can. Lucky I didn't have a television. If it is to cook beans and suffer on my own cooking, rather than pray, I'll be cooking. Seriously, I need to. We'll do anything to fill up the prayer time with God. Yes, so he's saying. Says the prayer worketh much. Prayer. Look over in verse 15. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness and that they found in the temple of the Lord and the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad in the book. You know, many times we say, well, you're right. It's in the holy place. So we take out all this stuff that we've stored there and we put it in the court. And we say, now, whenever there's a convenient time for it, if ever, you know, my dad, he always gives me a hard time. You go in my room and it is just completely, every little piece of screw and spring and piece of rubber and string, whatever I can get, I have it all stored in boxes and all my dressers on my bed. And I just take a sheet and I flip it and it all falls off on the floor so I can sleep at night. But man, I may need it sometime. They're my treasures. And you know, that's what we think. We say, but Lord, I may need this sometime. Well, man, look at this. You know, I imagine some of that stuff in there was pretty valuable. Gold, silver, just wasn't as pretty as they wanted in their other temple. So they stored it. And how easy it would be, well, Lord, like Saul, I'll just save some of this and I'll sacrifice it to you. Lord says, I don't want your abilities necessarily. I don't want the stuff you have to sacrifice. I want you. I want obedience. He wants people that pray. You know, they asked Spurgeon one time, what was his secret? People prayed for. Many times we beat our heads against the wall because we'd rather beat our heads against the wall. Here it says that he sparked one man. A lot of times, you know, God's looking for that one man. And it's really, right now in San Luis, they kicked us out of the plaza. And you're like, well, Lord, what is going on? I mean, we had 8 people saved in the meetings from preaching in the plaza. And you're like, Lord, but look at this. Maybe that's it. Maybe the method is taking place in my prayer time. Coming for the Lord and saying, Lord, bless your will, your method, your way. And I found out the Lord doesn't have a set method. He works in very, very serious ways. He really does. He saves people in ways you wouldn't believe. And he works in ways with us that we wouldn't believe. And the only way we can really get in his will is be in communication with him. How do you expect to do anything right if you don't even know how you're supposed to do it? I mean, that's just common sense, I think. If you want to do the way the Lord wants it done, we got to be in communication. We got to be praying to him. We got to open up the doors, clear the cobwebs. And you know, we're going to have to get rid of some stuff that we think is pretty valuable. We're going to have to get rid of stuff that we think is very valuable. Then we say, Lord, I'll just sweep it up. You know, I'll take a file and I'll saw the idol's face off of it, but I'll sacrifice the gold to you. Because I don't want that. I don't want that. It says that they didn't only take it to the court. They didn't just stick it in the court. It says here in 16, and it says, in the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it to carry it out abroad in the book. Disposed of completely his book. Completely. You imagine what junk they found in there, what trash in the holy place of the Lord. Just trash, cobwebs, who knows what all. Had to fix the door in our own labor. They've been just hanging there without no use. A lot of times we come to our prayer time to the door. They really squeak. Isn't it hard just to start praying? Isn't it hard just to get down on your knees and pray? A lot of times it's a whole lot easier just to read the Bible and say, well, Lord, I'm reading your word. So your door's really squeaking. Sometimes, man, you can't even find the key to open it. You stutter around for about 3 minutes. You say, well, Lord, that was real sacrifice. We'll try for 4 minutes. It's time we open up the doors. Keep them royal. You say, well, isn't that kind of far-fetched? The Bible says we are the royal priesthood. Is that the word? The word's in English. The royal priesthood. We are. We are the royal. And who did the king call? He's made a spark and he called the priesthood in to clean out the house. You got to get your act. You know, sometimes, just a need for a little bit of receipt, a little bit of exhortation, saying, we gotta get our act right, we gotta get on the track, we gotta get in communication with God, we gotta open up the doors, we gotta get in. Because now, you're like, we're just standing outside around the house, saying, why doesn't the Lord bless? And you read that chapter and it says, and this is why that they have led our mothers and our daughters captive. A lot of times we're led captive into the world for lack of communication. You take a tree and it can be the biggest tree you want. You cut it off from water, it's not gonna last very long. You cut a kid off from food. I mean, he can be the healthiest kid in the world. Cut him off from food and he's not gonna last very long. You won't last very long. Don't last very long. You put a person all alone, that's how they extract information. No communication. Put them alone. And yet, we do that to ourselves. We put ourselves alone. We withdraw from the house of the Lord, close the doors and lock them. Fill it up with garbage. It's time that we open up the doors. I open up the doors and come in. Pray as I should pray.